the Minister for Justice. Helen McEntee is in our Oireachtas studio. Helen McEntee, good afternoon. Thanks for talking to us today. We'll talk about your plan for bigger fines for airlines and more money for Garda reservists shortly. But first, your reaction to what you've been hearing from County Limerick.
Oh, look, I mean, this is just a really horrific and very upsetting incident to have happened. My thoughts are with the poor young woman's family, with her wider community. And, you know, this is not something that we see happen very often. And I just think it's very distressing for everybody involved here. There was obviously Gardaí on the scene very quickly. As we've heard from the report, a number of dogs that were in the house that had to be taken away and one that was put down. And I think it's only right and it's only appropriate that we have an investigation into what's happened here and that we understand the facts and that we understand how we can make sure that this doesn't happen again. Things like this should not happen. And I think that's what's very upsetting here. Again, as we've heard from the report there, my colleague Minister Humphreys has already set up a group looking at what kind of dogs we have on restrictive lists in Ireland here, but do we perhaps need to go further and ban certain dogs?
What do you think? I mean, there are restrictions on dogs here, as you said and as Cathy reported, but unlike in other countries, no outright ban on some breeds. Are the laws here too soft on dog ownership?
Well, we don't have any dog breed that's banned.
Should there be?
But personally, I think perhaps there should be, yes. And I don't want to get into what happened in this particular incident, but where a dog is known to potentially be vicious. Now, obviously, some people have views, you know, as to how a dog may become vicious or not. But I think where there is a pattern, and particularly where you see in other countries where there is a pattern of particular dogs, then we do need to look at whether we need to go further here. But also we have to take into account that some of the rules that apply now, it is very much in public. So even the restrictive breeds that we have, it's, you know, making sure that there are muzzles on the dogs, that they can't be out in certain areas. This was in a person's home. So how do we protect people where they have dogs even that are restricted within their own home as well? So this review group is looking at all of these options here, and I know that the Minister is expecting a recommendation from them in the near future. Former Assistant Commissioner from the Gardaí, John Toomey, is chairing that group, and he's working with the many different departments and agencies that are responsible here. But we just we need to do whatever we can to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again. This is really, really devastating.
Directly in your own brief, bigger fines for airlines for passengers without valid travel documents. Is this measure going to reduce the number of people coming here to claim asylum, in your view?
Well, this is one of a number of actions that I've been taking to try and prevent irregular migration. It is the law, and there is a legal obligation on our airlines to make sure that any person who gets onto a plane, any person who comes to this country, that they come with the appropriate documentation, that they have a valid visa if that's what's required of them, that they're not using another person's documentation. And there is already a fine in place, but that fine has not been increased. It hasn't been reviewed for a number of years. So what I'm doing is placing and replacing an emphasis on the obligation that exists within our airlines and within the overall airline system. This is just one of a number of measures, as I've said, over the last number of years.
To do what? To reduce the number of people coming here to claim asylum?
Well, to reduce the number of people coming here illegally. So it is illegal, irrespective of whether you're coming to claim asylum or not. It is illegal to come here.
But people are entitled to come to Ireland to look for international protection. Are you asking airlines to determine if someone is an international protection applicant?
No. So what our obligation is to process an application when somebody gets here. We do not have an obligation to bring someone or to allow someone to come here. But if they arrive in this country, we have an obligation to process them. We do that. We take that obligation very seriously. I've said time and time again.
Yes, but if somebody comes here without a passport or a visa, they're entitled to look for asylum, aren't they?
If they are in this country, yes. And we take that obligation very seriously. However, they do not have a legal right to get on a plane and come here with the incorrect documentation. And what has happened in the last number of years. So it's not just about finding airlines. I mean, we want to work with the airlines. We do. There's been a huge amount of training, working with the staff who are obviously handling these documents, who are working with people on the ground to try and spot the signs of a false document, to try and identify somebody who may try and destroy their documents. We're also providing liaison officers on the ground to work with staff, not just in Dublin Airport, but in other airports. And because of all of this work, we've seen a reduction by about a third, and actually it's increased again this year, in the number of people coming with false documents. So we're not stopping people who are coming with valid documents or valid reasons to be here, but it is a crime to come here or to get on a plane with a false document claiming to be somebody else or to destroy your document.
Your department say that almost 100 people have been prosecuted since the start of the year for arriving in the state without passports or visas. What's happened to them?
Well, a number of those people have been put in prison, as you've said. A number of those people have been given custodial sentences.
But are they still allowed to look for asylum here after they serve their prison sentence?
Yes, they are. And obviously those who have a right to be here after that and subsequently, they will be given that right. But it is against the law, irrespective of whether you're somebody coming seeking international protection or whether you're someone looking to work. It is against the law to come here without a valid document or without a valid visa.
But they're entitled to look for asylum here, whether they have a document or not, and whether you imprison them for having a document or not, yes?
Yes, as I've said, that is our legal obligation when somebody arrives here. But we do not have a legal obligation to bring them here, to let them come here. So I know that might sound unusual to people, but our legal obligation is when somebody arrives in this country, we take that very seriously. And I, as Minister, take that very seriously, that somebody has an opportunity to state their case when they are in the country. However, we have to uphold the law. Our carriers have to uphold the law. There's a legal obligation on them to make sure that people coming into this country, they have the correct and they have the valid documentation. As I said, this is just one of a number of measures that we're taking here, while at the same side of things, making sure that the international protection system is constantly being ramped up. That's why I've doubled the staff. That's why we've more than quadrupled
the output. Yes, but the announcement of this measure, your announcement, for example, in recent weeks, of cracking down on people coming across the border from Northern Ireland, the announcement by your government of reducing the accommodation entitlement for new Ukrainian arrivals, announcements on payments to Ukrainians, the clearing of tents in recent weeks. Do you expect that any of these measures, do you want any of these measures to reduce the number of people coming here to claim asylum? Is that what your government is trying to do here?
Well, what we're trying to do here is make sure that our system is robust, that our system is firm but fair. So any of the measures that I've introduced, they've been worked on for a number of years now. Any of the measures that we're introducing now, so these fines, the review started at the beginning of this year because the review hadn't taken place for a number of years. We have to reflect where we are now currently. We need to make sure that we have a system that's robust, that provides genuine protection to those who need it, but for those who genuinely don't need it, that we can say in a much quicker way and in a much quicker time frame, you don't have a right to be here and you shouldn't be here. We're doing all of this at a time where the number of people who've come to Ireland seeking protection, the number of people who've come from Ukraine fleeing war, these are numbers that we've never seen before. So we're improving and updating our system all the while responding to numbers that we've never seen before. So that's not about hardening or changing a stance. It's about making sure that we have a system that works to be able to genuinely protect those who need it and to be able to identify those who are perhaps economic migrants who don't need international protection and that they're told they don't have that right to be here.
341 Garda reserves now. There were just over 1,000 10 years ago. How many more Garda reserves do you want to attract with an offer of up to a tenner an hour?
Well, firstly, I've set a target of 1,000 by 2026, and I want more than the 341 that we have now. We had much more than that a number of years ago, because the work that the Gardaí and the reserve to support the Gardaí do is invaluable. Our Garda reserve, they're volunteers, so they're not paid.
Believe that more money will attract them then?
Well, firstly, they're volunteers, so they volunteer to support in their community. And the work that they do, it's everything from supporting the roads policing unit to the community Gardaí. They work at different events. And obviously coming into the summer, we'll see lots of our reserves out at concerts, at football matches, at various different events. What they get is a contribution to their costs. So the contribution when the Garda Reserve opened up back in 2006 was €1,000. It hasn't changed since then. Obviously, the cost of things have increased since then. So what I have secured is an increase from €1,000 to €3,000. So it's not a payment, but what it does reflect are the costs that they might incur, whether it's getting, public transport, whether it's paying for their lunch, whether it's, having to travel somewhere to support the members of An Garda Síochána.
And Garda Reservists will say that it's not money that brought them, that attracted them to be a Garda reservist in the first place. Why not spend the money, as the GRA have asked, on paying Gardaí more and making that job more attractive?
Well, what I've already done is increase the overall Garda budget by 25%. So we're now at 3.5 2.35 billion euro, the highest budget that Gardaí have ever had. And obviously only recently as well, the Gardaí have signed up to a new pay agreement where they will see an increase in their pay, along with so many other public servants. So this is to respond and to acknowledge the work of the reserve. So we have just over 14,000 Garda members at the moment. We have over 3,500 Garda staff. We have, as you said, 341 reserve members. So that's close to 18,000 members overall. And we valued the work of each and every one of those. So the objective today, and this is a new campaign, we haven't had a campaign since 2017. I want to encourage any person who wants to play a part in their community, who wants to be part of the team of An Garda Síochána, but also someone who might be thinking about a career in An Garda Síochána. This morning I met with one member in particular who started off her career as a Garda Reserve, volunteering in her community. She's now a member of An Garda Síochána and has used this as a pathway and a career pathway, and is still studying and still progressing and still doing a huge amount of work within her community as well. So it's a really important role. It adds to the work of the Gardaí.
Okay.
The increase in funding really is a reflection of the fact that they do have costs.
And
we need to make
yes.
sure that they're covered as well, and an acknowledgement of the work that they do.
Helen McEntee in our Oireachta studio. Thank you.